Does manual treasury management and operations have your crypto business stuck in the slow lane? Scale up and speed ahead with Fireblocks, the number one platform for crypto operations and trading pros that makes custody, settlement, and rebalancing quick and easy. Visit Fireblocks.com to learn more. This episode is brought to you by Coinbase Prime, an integrated solution that provides institutional investors with an advanced trading platform, secure custody, and Prime services to manage all of their crypto assets in one place. Futuristic companies like Tesla and MicroStrategy have used Coinbase's comprehensive investing platform to execute some of the largest trades in the industry. Learn more by visiting coinbase.com/prime to get started today. I'd also like to give a shout out to Cross River. Whether you're a crypto exchange, NFT marketplace, or wallet, Cross River's integrated API-based platform provides the payment solutions you need to grow. A CryptoFin Industry Award winner and an early partner for companies like Coinbase, Cross River's tech stack supports crypto partners and enables real-time money movement for consumers. Welcome to a new world of crypto-friendly banking at crossriver.com/crypto. All opinions expressed by hosts and podcast guests are solely their own opinions and not necessarily those of the Blocks. Podcast guests may have taken positions in the assets or other matters discussed in this podcast. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as a basis for investment decisions. For full terms, visit theblockcrypto.com/terms-service. Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Scoop. I'm your host, Frank Chaparro, Director of News at The Block. And today joining us on the other side of the mic is Ryan Salem, co-CEO of FTX Digital Markets. Ryan was very generous with his time down in the Bahamas. I think I ran up to you at one of the side events and basically made you give me a on-the-spot interview for like 5 minutes. And that kind of helped shape the story that I wrote about the event. So if you haven't read that article, check it out because it gives some good context. Maybe hit pause in the show, read that, and then come back and join us. But Ryan, for folks who maybe are not aware of your background, you've been in the space for quite a bit. You previously worked at Circle doing OTC trading before moving over to Alameda. And that's where you sort of ran the OTC desk until you were plucked to be co-CEO of FTX's Bahamas subsidiary. We can dive into exactly what FTX Digital Markets is, but you've been doing that since September 2021. Well, thanks so much for coming on the show.
No, thanks for having me. It's an honor to be here. And
it's a rite of passage, I think, coming on The Scoop. It's almost like, you know, a bat mitzvah, except maybe a little bit more prestigious. So how did you get started in crypto? What's your sort of story?
Yeah, it's an interesting one, I guess. So I was a CPA at Ernst & Young doing taxes. I kind of caught that crypto bug that people talk about early in the days where you read about Bitcoin and you're like, holy crap, this could change the whole world. This is extremely exciting. I was really early, I think, in understanding the influence that LinkedIn would have. So I created this content and this LinkedIn profile that was easily searchable and connected me with Bitcoin. Circle at the time was looking for an accountant. I think searched basically crypto accountant in LinkedIn and found my profile, and we got connected through that. So I went over to Circle. I worked on the accounting or on the books for maybe 5 to 6 months, you know, helped reconcile all the trading Dan had done for the year, got through the audit, and then Dan brought me on the desk.
Yeah. And Dan, for folks who may not know, he's over at CMS. He's a very active force on Twitter vis-a-vis, well, they change their handle, or not their handle, but their Twitter account name every single day, but very funny account. So what was it like during those heady days of 2017 on the desk? I'm sure it must have been wild.
Oh, it was incredible. I mean, so I was rather new to trading, right? Having been an accountant before. So I sort of thought this was just how trading worked. I mean, you're talking 1, 2, 3% spreads, just constant activity, people popping up out of nowhere with, you know, $20, $30, $40 million or something. So it was a ton of fun. It was constant work. It was 24/7 and we were all barely sleeping, but it was really just like an incredible time to be a part of it and to jump in.
Yeah. I mean, I imagine it was exciting. And then you made your way over to FTX. But
well, at the time it was just Alameda. So when I joined Alameda, I think it was 3 or 4 months before Sam had launched it. So it was sort of like a frustration with existing exchanges, whether it was clawbacks or order submission errors, sort of all that stuff that we dealt with back then, so to say. I think Sam just realized it was a huge opportunity to create a better exchange.
So, okay, but then you got to the Bahamas somehow. How did that happen, and why did you want to kind of spearhead that?
Yeah, so that's a big fast forward, but we launched FTX. The majority of the team is out east. And then, you know, I think about a year ago, you're starting to see governments really take notice to crypto. I think it took longer than we would have expected, but you're starting to see different governments put out letters and comments about, you know, using crypto and trading crypto. And so it sort of tossed, you know, regulation in the spotlight. And then it became clear that over the next 5-6 months, it was really going to be a focus of probably all exchanges, but in particular FTX, to find a home and find a regulatory framework that we could operate under. We utilized a company called XREG that assisted us with basically looking at every country in the world and what regulatory frameworks they'd built out, and not just the frameworks, but also quality of life, of living there, things like that. And the Bahamas rose to the top of the list. And I sat down with Sam, and he, you know, basically said, would you head over, spearhead setting up there, meet with the regulators, meet with the government, get everything in place? And I did that. And then about a month later, Sam came and saw what we had put together there and decided that it was a good place to set up the headquarters. So I think it's been, was that September 1st, I went to the Bahamas. So
was the original anticipation that everyone would come follow you at the firm, or did that just happen after maybe a few visits from Sam?
I don't know. It's, you know, I can't fully read Sam's mind. I think there was a number of options. And after seeing what people had done in each jurisdiction, he was most comfortable to move people and himself to the Bahamas. So my guess is at the initial onset, he probably wasn't sure the Bahamas would be, you know, a perfect place. But after seeing it, he was comfortable. So.
And it's not just a perfect place seemingly for FTX and Sam and you, but people are following in your footsteps. When we talked at the event, you mentioned something to the effect of 10, 20, maybe 30 firms are at some varying stage of setting up shop in Bahamas. What's going on?
Yeah, and I'll caveat, that's just the firms I know about. I'm sure there's a number of firms sort of poking around that I have.
There are going to be hundreds.
Have not spoken to us first. It's a culmination of just a ton of things, right? It's a culmination of the whole world sort of focusing on crypto regulation. So, you know, people need a home and people need regulatory clarity. There's proximity to the United States, which is great. You know, it's about a 2.5-hour flight for him to get to DC. It's 30 minutes to Miami. It's a beautiful place to live. I mean, I think a lot of people saw that for the first time when they came down for the conference, that it's just like a gorgeous country. There's a stable government there, democratic. It's elected each year. There's elections. Yeah, I think it's just a lot of stuff coming together and in a way that was sort of perfect for the industry and certainly for FTX.
And it's not too humid either.
It's not too humid. No, weather's right. Very consistent. You get a hurricane season, which, you know, knock on wood, we haven't seen a bad one yet. But I know the country has obviously seen a bad one very recently. So other than that, you have very stable sort of, I would call it perfect weather.
It's like, yeah, barring the hurricanes, I was anticipating a bit more stickiness than existed. But anyway, without going into the minutiae of the weather. So what are some of the takeaways? So the conference happened. I'm assuming it was a success from your perspective. But what are some of the top of mind takeaways from the event?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was an incredible success, actually. I mean, we've just gotten a ton of feedback that, you know, this is one of the better conferences that people had been to. It sort of wasn't chaotic. Everyone who's there was, you know, firms of quality and of a high caliber. Security was done well. The takeaway was that this is a phenomenal location. The Bahamas had a lot to offer. I think FTX with SALT's partnership was very good at creating an event that bridge TradFi and crypto incredibly well. My biggest takeaway is we have to do it bigger and better next year. And I think getting, you know, V1 out of the way, we've seen where we can improve. And we're already starting to lock in dates for next year, meet with some people that couldn't get there this year, set up more at the Bahamar. I think I'm incredibly excited about what's to come. So
in the Bahamar, let's get some more signage.
Yes. Yeah. So I think the Bahamar saw what this was going to be. You know, I imagine they have a lot of people that come up to them and are like, hey, like, we have the biggest event ever going on. And they're like, cool, cool, cool. But now I think like they saw what this brought and the people who showed up and how excited the Bahamian government was. And I think next year it's the partnership with them is going to be incredible. So we'll have the entire Bahamar next year. Yeah. A lot of freedom to do what we want there.
So let's talk a little bit about what else you might want to have in store for next year. What might you change? What might you do differently?
Yeah, so this year we only had access to about half the space, so it probably didn't feel like that, but there was another sort of full half of the Bahamar's facilities that Crypto Bahamas wasn't even touching. Half the rooms had already been sort of sold to other people on, you know, honeymoons or vacations. I sort of felt for them a little bit, but, you know, next year we'll have that full space. We can build a bigger area for the actual panels to go on. And yeah, I mean, everything can just be a bit more, you know, with a bit more time and can be built out a little bit better. So I think we'll merge it with a couple other events that happen in the Bahamas, particularly around some high profile sports figures that we've worked with. And yeah, just create more opportunities and more areas, and especially for other companies outside of FTX and Salt who didn't quite know what they were signing up for this year, now have a sense of what the space is like and what they can do in terms of mini events during Crypto Bahamas. So I think the venue is perfect.
Do you think that from a business perspective, your objectives were hit? Like, and what are those objectives? You have an event like this. Is it hobnobbing with potential clients? Is it getting, you know, close with high esteemed political leaders or, you know, visionaries?
Yeah, I mean, I think you could say all of those. So some of my objectives were to show off the Bahamas as a jurisdiction, show why we were there, you know, allow the opportunity for companies to send people to see that this is a great place to do business. So that objective was, I mean, easily hit. And then there's also just solidifying FTX with Salt's partnership as sort of a premier offering for clients and hosting premier events that, you know, top quality companies globally can come together. So I think that helps FTX branding, that helps Salt branding, that helps the space in general. And then, you know, having just a good time. I mean, it was a great event and people had a ton of fun. And so I'm always happy to sort of promote that as long as it's along with, you know, FTX and the country's vision. So.
Yeah, it was definitely a lot of fun. And just having everyone there in one place and just being, I mean, the level of exuberance was pretty unmatched compared to most other events. Everyone was just really happy.
Yeah. Yeah. And the other comment that I got a lot, which I didn't expect, was a lot of people brought their families and their families just had a ton of fun on what felt like a vacation while they were working. I mean, the kids are over on the water park or over in the little zoo area and, you know, they're at quote unquote work. So yeah, we just got a ton of positive feedback around the Bahamar as a venue in particular.
Did you make it over to the slide?
I did not. So I was just a ball of stress for that whole thing, which probably wasn't actually necessary because it was mostly, you know, my team and the team managing everything. But I was just on top of, you know, Telegram and WhatsApp constantly.
You were glued to Twitter. And you're not a big
and Twitter guy. Too, and pushing the promotions, which, you know, we all know in crypto, Twitter is important. So, yeah, I think you commented to me that I was like wondering if I had a bot on my profile. I was liking your Crypto Bahamas tweets so fast.
Yeah, it was like instantly. Maybe you had alerts set up.
Of course, I have alerts for your podcast and your tweets.
Yeah, perfect. All right. That's what I like to hear. That's bonus points. So let's focus on the jurisdictional. I don't know if that's a word, but I'm going to make it a word just for the show. Like when we talk about, you know, this jurisdiction's better than that one, what type of clarity are you getting? Or is it more of, is there specific clarity that they're saying you can do X and you can do Y? Or is it more of a feel-good feeling that they're supporting you and they just are happy for you to be there?
I mean, all of that. So you can look at the DARE Act, which was the original piece of legislation that brought us to the Bahamas. It's a principle-based approach to a regulatory framework. It's very proactive. then we, you know, sort of saw that legislation, met with the securities board in the Bahamas. Christine Rolle, she spoke at Crypto Bahamas. She's incredibly excited about what this can do for the country, very proactive in learning about what's new, constantly pinging us and the rest of the industry to learn more or talk about events she can go to or send her people to. And then that goes all the way to the top, where the prime minister is equally as excited learning about what, you know, crypto is. They rolled out the Sand Dollar, you know, rather early, which was a blockchain-based iteration of their currency. You just see a whole government and really a country excited about it. And so, you know, some jurisdictions, I think, are going to roll out various frameworks and do things like that. But to really have like an excitement, I think that adds so much more to it.
Is there a little bit less friction in rolling out new products to market?
Yes, definitely. I mean, the United States has sort of a very large and complex system, and there's pros and cons to that, definitely. They have much more sort of, there's a word I'm missing here, but much more ease of rolling out new legislations, and sort of all of crypto sits under one regulatory body versus in the US, you're seeing the CFTC and SEC debate. There's just an ease of doing and changing in the Bahamas that I think is extremely helpful and extremely good for the industry.
I will say they need to work on their haircut game. They kind of really messed me up.
Yeah, I mean, so once you sort of got rid of that mustache.
I got a fly and a barber.
Where did you get your haircut? Was it at the Bahamar?
Yeah, some guy came up to my room and just like chopped it all off. It was really crazy.
Well, you know what? I will talk to the Bahamar about that, and we'll ensure next year you get just the best haircuts.
Yeah, and you know, with the, you know, the towel on the face type of ordeal,
cucumbers in the eyes. Yeah, it's important.
You guys also broke ground on a new space there. There's going to be like this massive. I didn't get to see it, but I heard about it. Yeah,
there wasn't much to see, so we just cut the ribbon and put the shovels in the ground, right? And that's over on West Bay Street. It's about, I want to say 5 to 10 minutes from Bahamar heading west, but it's right along the water, which is great. So it'll have incredible views. But yeah, it's going to be. It's quoted as a $60 million campus. I think we're pushing about $150 million now. And the original plan was to sort of have a bunch of different crypto companies in the space. But I'm starting to feel like Sam, with all of his different ventures and activities, we can likely fill it with a lot of what sits under his web. So FTX Ventures will have space. Obviously, FTX Digital Markets will have space. The FTX Foundation will have space. And we'll really create this. It's going to be an incredible campus. 24/7 dining, athletics for a lot of our sports figures and things that we've been doing on that front. Areas for portfolio companies or partnering companies to come just have some space and work in. And we're already doing this with the temporary campus. And it's just the collaborative nature of bringing everyone together, which, you know, the Hacker House is sort of emphasize. It really is powerful and it does a lot and it really helps with the FTX brand as well.
Yeah. And like the existing space is like, you know, people described it and maybe folks who hadn't been to the Bahamas before, it was almost like this elusive, mysterious type of setup. But when you go there, it's kind of funny. It's like basically a bunch of strip malls. They all kind of look identical to each other. Same, you know, stocked fridges and pantries with all sorts of snacks and whatnot. Yeah. Swag everywhere.
Yeah, it was a newly built space that they were going to sell off basically each little building to, you know, different companies. And then as FTX grew, we were able to just, you know, utilize all those buildings to put people in. It was always meant to be a temporary space. The problem is, you know, construction in the real world takes 2 to 3 years. And in crypto, you want things done in like a month. But so we're utilizing and modifying the space the best we can to accommodate us during this short period of time. But yes, it is suboptimal in its current iteration. But
I think it's great. To
campus. Oh, you did like it? Okay.
No, I did like it.
Walk, which is nice.
I think it was like really, it was one of the more interesting things I've honestly experienced. You know, you went in there like at 10:30 at night and there were these guys like kind of whiteboarding about, you know, I think it was a DeFi project and all this other stuff was going on. But no matter when you went there, there were people working,
yes,
and doing stuff. Yeah. And collaborate.
I know a lot of people are pushing remote work, but, you know, Sam's never sort of seen a lot of value in remote work. And I think a lot of what FTX is able to achieve is because people are in person. And so in particular, developers, you know, seeing all the developers together in one space is just an incredible experience.
I remember in the beginning of the pandemic, there were reports about Ken Griffin Citadel setting up like a trading floor in Palm Beach, and they had about 50 guys in this hotel. And it reminded me of that, but like on steroids to a degree. Like you guys have just completely commandeered this island. There is obviously, you know, other questions about, I don't know if gentrification is the right word, but how do you sort of like do a soft landing into this community without really upending, you know, the way of life?
Yeah, I don't know if exactly. I mean, it's a good concern. I think so. One thing where we're putting the campus sits much more central of the country. And so you're seeing sort of ease of access by, you know, everyone within the country to get there. I think right now, a lot of, you know, from downtown, it's about a 45-minute drive to the temporary campus. We don't love that. We want the sort of headquarters to sit more central. There is also just a fair bit of land left in the country. And so I think, you know, I do understand the gentrification concern and we are looking at it. But I think, you know, the way we're hiring and the way we're empowering locally combined with, you know, how we're going about it, I think we're on the, hopefully on the better end of that. So.
And the government definitely seems keen to have you guys there. You mentioned that they're really excited about stable coins.
Yeah. So I think they're equally as excited to look about everything. I probably right now exchanges they're most excited about just because what they've seen that FTX brings. I think stable coins is an interesting opportunity for a lot of governments globally. And it's something we've talked to them a lot about. And so I think as everyone's trying to figure out where they'll fit in the digital asset regulatory space and where their country can offer a unique opportunity, I think stablecoins is one of those for the Bahamas. In particular, their Bahamian dollar is one-to-one with the U.S. dollar. So they create some interesting opportunities there, I think, in terms of allowing stablecoins to register or allowing stablecoins to operate within the shores. You know, I don't want to speak for the government, but I do know that like that's conversations that we've had with them and they're certainly looking at it.
Having trouble keeping pace with the crypto boom? When your business is scaling up and your portfolio is growing, you don't want to waste precious time on manual treasury management or settling and rebalancing. Fireblocks can handle that for you with smart, scalable solutions for your crypto business, along with industry-leading security and expertise. They'll take care of the back end so you can focus on the big picture. Visit fireblocks.com to learn more. This episode is brought to you by Coinbase Prime, an integrated solution that provides institutional investors with an advanced trading platform, secure custody, and Prime services to manage all their crypto assets in one place. Coinbase Prime fully integrates crypto trading and custody on a single platform and gives clients the best all-in pricing in their network using their proprietary smart order router and algorithmic execution. Futuristic companies like Tesla and MicroStrategy have already used Coinbase's comprehensive investing platform to execute some of the largest trades in the industry. Build a unified investment portfolio with one of the most trusted names in crypto. Learn more by visiting coinbase.com/prime to get started today. This episode is brought to you by Cross River. Building the next big thing in crypto? Then it's time to get your fiat on and off ramp solution from Cross River. Whether you're a crypto exchange, NFT marketplace, or wallet, Cross River's integrated API-based platform provides the payment solutions you need to grow. Cross River is powering the future of financial services. A CryptoFin Industry Award winner and an early partner for companies like Coinbase, Cross River's tech stack supports crypto partners and enables real-time money movement for consumers. Welcome to a new world of crypto-friendly banking. Request your fiat on and off-ramp solution now at crossriver.com/crypto. I mean, I guess kind of zooming out and looking at the market, you've seen various cycles. Where do you think we are right now? It seems like everything's kind of cooled off a bit. What might need to happen for the markets to be reinvigorated?
Yeah, you know, so you just had John Cheeseman on, who, you know, looks at these markets all day long and is probably better to touch on it. You know, it feels like there's a lot of macro headwinds, which is sort of what a lot of people have been referencing. Everyone's looking for sort of what's liquid. The ability to trade on the weekend is something unique for crypto. So I think the whole world sort of watching as, you know, all these keywords hit, you know, whether it's war, inflation, all this sort of unique things are hitting. And I think crypto is just being swept up as another asset in that domain. I think the upside for digital assets and crypto has always been massive. And I do think the sort of industry is early. So I won't give price predictions one way or another, but I think as the world normalizes and stabilizes, you'll see a world where the excitement around crypto as something separate than other risk assets will be reinvigorated. So hopefully that's vague enough, but specific enough for you.
Well, it definitely seems like it's become, even though price has gone sideways, there's a new cultural element or a cultural significance, rather, that's never been more palpable. Right. I don't know.
That's fair.
Right. I mean, like, I talked about this with Sam, and he said that if you think about crypto today in society, it almost has like as much capture of the human mind as like a popular television show. I forget the one he used as an example, but everybody's talking about Selling Sunset. So I'll use that one. Like, everyone's kind of thinking about it, or the Kardashians like 5 years ago. And crypto maybe takes up like 10% of or 5% of the human like brain space. No one doesn't think about it at this point to some degree or another. And you kind of saw that embodied in the conference, right? Like Katy Perry was there. And I think some other celebrities. I got to say hello to Giselle, which was pretty cool. And like that is like, aside from price, the advent of like NFTs and metaverse, that train isn't really going to slow down.
No, I don't think so. I mean, you could see this with private capital waiting at the door. You could see this with something like Crypto Bahamas, where, you know, all these people from different walks of life that are sort of higher profile individuals were willing to come together and, you know, talk and learn and discuss this. Yeah, I think the enthusiasm has not wavered, which in 17 you saw a little bit of enthusiasm waver. I don't think you're seeing that enthusiasm wavering during this, you know, sideways price action, which I think is great. And on the NFT front, it's something that, you know, I talk about this a lot, but I wasn't initially excited about NFTs. And then watching what, you know, Tristan in particular, but FTX US did with the Coachella NFTs, I think it creates this incredible new opportunity that's extremely cool. So that space in particular is drawing in, you know, sports athletes that are sort of looking at how they can use it, stadiums and events that are looking at how they can modify ticketing. Yeah, you're seeing the ability for digital assets or crypto or blockchains or layer ones, all these things, sort of all these concepts are able to be utilized by a ton of different industries. So I think that's incredibly exciting. And I don't think we'll see that change anytime soon.
Yeah, I've also been surprised at how quickly we went from just the like JPEG speculation phenomenon to actual utility in some of these NFTs. You guys did it with Coachella. Blockworks Group is doing it with their permissionless conference, where they kind of have these unlocks. And you also, I think you guys also did it in Paris and different regions where you attended conferences. There was a Paris NFT drop when I was there.
And I think it's so early. I mean, I think people aren't even appreciating is like, say you take one of these lifetime Coachella NFTs and you withdraw this to a wallet that you host. I mean, the ability to directly market and target and drop things to these specific people that hold these things. I mean, I think you're looking at a whole new form of marketing, a whole new form of like extremely targeted advertising, but that keeps the end user potentially anonymous because they would just be sort of their address that holds these tickets. So I'm incredibly excited about what our team's doing on the NFT ticketing side. And I think FTX is at the forefront of it.
Next, Bahamas. That's very cool. Next Bahamas.
Yeah. We'll have more on it at Crypto Bahamas V2. So we'll certainly bring, you know, NFTs and all that in a bit more. I mean, I think what's underappreciated is that we only planned this conference for about 4 months, I think. So the ability to start now and really get set up for next year's, I think it's going to be just unbelievable. So,
yeah. What are you most excited about?
I'm most excited about having the entire space to work with. I'm most excited about other companies knowing how to work with the space and do more of their own advertising, their own mini events. I think it was very cool that sort of multiple smaller events were going on constantly. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people just did that with guesswork. And now next year they'll know what the space is like. So, and I'm excited to build just a bigger and better stage. I mean, the LED display this year was incredible, but we can easily top that next year.
Yeah. Talk a little bit about that, because that was one of the more like insane aspects of the conference.
Yeah. So candidly, that was mostly on the SALT side that put that together. I'd seen sort of renderings of it, but I know that they were working with just, you know, massive drums of sand trying to hold that thing up. And I think Ray Block was a big moving force on that side. But it's, I believe we were told it's the largest LED assembly ever in the Caribbean. And we'll top that. So
it was
super cool.
Actually,
it was very cool.
Insane. I mean, it's really unreal. Do you think that, like, when you think about topping it, is it more, you know, sort of like aesthetically breathtaking, things like that? Is it the caliber of people?
I think it's more of each genre of caliber of people. So we had some, you know, awesome, you know, famous individuals that came down. You mentioned Giselle. I think we'll definitely, and we already know for a fact, we'll have more of that next year. We had a number of high quality CEOs and executives there, but a number of them couldn't get tickets this year because we didn't have enough space. We'll ensure there's enough space so they get tickets next year. The Hacker House was great. It was a bit small. We'll have more space for the Hacker House, but we still don't want to turn it into sort of this massive event. So we'll still keep it, sub 5,000, sub 4,000 individuals. But there's a number of people I would have been excited about being there this year. We just didn't have capacity.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about with Anthony. You know, I think a lot of people from the maybe more Wall Street side kind of got blindsided about how huge this would be. And now probably are like, all right, I need to make sure I have my ticket for next year.
Yeah, no, I'm very excited. Maybe we'll look at doing some of these, you know, NFT lifetime passes and just seeing how we can get a bit more involved in that. And then from the Bahamas specific side as well. So there was a lot of Bahamian representation through art and through attendees, but we want to do more for it this next year. So we want to have sort of a section that a number of, you know, Bahamian businesses can show off what they do in the Bahamas that's related to crypto or, you know, related to supporting a lot of the companies there. We have a mini real estate section, for instance. You know, 700 islands in the Bahamas, and they weren't, we can represent them better next year. So that's a focus as well.
We should do jet skiing next year as well.
Yeah, jet skiing. We'll get a lot of waivers in place, I think.
I try to set that up on the side, but I just didn't have the bandwidth. But I have my own plans in mind to make Crypto Bahamas bigger and better next year as well.
Yeah, we had a number of media outlets excited as well. So, you know, we'll have a full setup for you next year that you can do something incredible with, and we'll make sure that sort of the whole industry's got representation. So,
what aside from the event, what should we expect out of FTX Digital Markets over the next 6 months?
Yeah, it's a good question. So I think FTX is constantly looking to expand its user base. There's more new individuals and institutions coming into crypto. We hope they choose FTX first, and we think that's sort of the platform they should choose for a number of reasons. So we'll continue to grow and expand in that way. Regionalization throughout the world is a key thing we're looking at as well. So, you know, whether that's language translation or just advertising in areas we can advertise, or, you know, making sure that we take into account the whole world's landscape that we're able to access, that we're doing enough to bring those users on board. So that type of growth. Sam's got a heavy focus on FTX US and what's going on in the United States from a regulatory perspective. Now, that does not, FTX Digital Markets does not touch US individuals, but just from Sam's sort of perspective, that's what he's looking at. Certainly with our CFTC proposal, he's focusing on that from the US perspective. For FTX Digital Markets, I think we'll continue to expand. We got the headquarters growth. We've got NFT growth, exchange growth. The venture side is also doing incredible work right now and seeing a lot of success in where they're deploying capital. We're exploring new markets as well. I think something that's interesting that we're very lightly looking at, and the PM touched on as well, is just the carbon credit market, how that might evolve. Does crypto and blockchain play a role in that? Would FTX play a role if they did? So I think just trying to keep on the pulse and stay ahead of the industry and grow out what we've already got.
So that would be sort of like a way for, you know, let's say you have an airline, right, and they want to neutralize their carbon emissions. They could purchase credits in the form of a token that might trade on a market operated by FTX.
Correct, in theory. Now, none of this has sort of progressed further than just the thought and the viewing of it. But I think what the PM touched on was the blue carbon credits that the Bahamas has. And these are basically government-owned, audited, and secured carbon credits that they would be able to hopefully sell to companies that might be looking to buy. Now, companies that may be looking to buy would be ones that specifically sort of impact the Bahamas with their uses. So you could see cruise lines or resorts or things like that that may be particularly interested in specifically Bahamian credits. Now, again, this is all too early to sort of say anything other than conceptual, but it is something that I'm at least keeping an eye on. And I know we've had talks on internally.
Super cool. Well, sir, thank you for giving us the rundown. This was really, you know, for the people who weren't there, this is a good opportunity for them to like get a sense of exactly what went down. Everyone's asking me what went down. I was like, all right, let's just do an episode about it. So whenever someone asks me, I'll just give them the episode and I'll be good to go. Save me some time and hopefully get the good word out.
Awesome. Right.
And this
it.
Is pretty funny. You know, we had Cheeseman and now Salem. Cheese, salami, it's almost like a crypto charcuterie.
Yes, yeah. First time I've heard that reference, so that's awesome.
I'm sure it is. Great. Well, where can our listeners learn more about what you're working on?
Yeah, I think, you know, whether it's the answer people want or not, Twitter. I mean, Twitter is where sort of I'm talking about things. It's where Sam's talking about things. It's where you're pushing things out. I think you'll constantly sort of see the earliest and the most accurate information from our company come from Sam and the rest of ours Twitter. So I think that's one of the best spaces. And then, you know, we're very accessible, whether it's through Telegram or through, you know, WhatsApp, WeChat, any of those, we're accessible. So, you know, feel free to drop a line.
Well, sir, I'll see you soon.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back with you again on The Scoop with another great guest. Have an awesome day.